We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon another important section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. And pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to these things and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the second part of Acts chapter 7, verse 8, zeroing in on Jacob. And Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. But this for this morning, Jacob. And he was the third man in what we could call the trinity of the early descendants. You got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham went years and years and years and years without having a child, finally had one when he was 100 and his wife was 90. And then you had Isaac. We looked at both of these. And now Jacob. And we tend to magnify these people in our thoughts, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as kind of super saints. But they were not super saints. And the Holy Spirit has a way of being very honest when he writes his words. And so we find out here a little bit about Jacob. These guys were not perfect. Okay, so Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. And they didn't much like each other. They squared off against one another when they were still in the womb of their mother, Rebekah. And the relationship deteriorated from there. As it turned out, Esau, who was born a few seconds earlier than Jacob, but Esau turned out to be a cunning hunter. A man of the field. His father loved him. He could really relate to this proud son of his. Isaac loved the venison that his son brought home to him, and he was good at it. He knew how to use a bow and arrow. He was proud. Isaac was proud of him, of Esau, and the two of them grew very close together. So Jacob was born a few seconds after Esau, and he couldn't care less about drawing a bead on a buck. He was a homebody and very seldom left home, and he was the favorite of his mother, Rebekah. So the family here is not what you'd call a good, strong Christian family. They had favorites. The father favored one son, the mother favored another. Such things ought not so to be. There should be equal love for both of the parents and all of the children that God blesses them with. So we've got a sad situation right here in the beginning. And this is we're zeroing in on here on Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it happened on a certain day that Jacob was preparing a meal of pottage on the kitchen stove. And evidently he was a pretty good cook. The meal smelled really good. At the same time, his brother Esau had been out hunting, but in one of the rare times in his life, he didn't catch any game. He either didn't see any, or if he did have a shot, he must have missed it. And he was hungry. And he was starving. And the way he felt, he was ready to die. He was going to starve to death. So he came home and he smelled this pottage that his brother Jacob was cooking. And so Esau swallowed his pride and asked his brother Jacob for some of his pottage. And Jacob took advantage of the situation. He was a swindler. We find that out. He took advantage of the situation. Esau had been born a second or two before Jacob, and being the eldest son, he had possession of the birthright. And the birthright went to the oldest son, and it had spiritual implications. This was just in the Old Testament. And Jacob wanted the birthright. He wished he had it, and he came within a second of getting it. So this is one of the things that we learn about Jacob, that as many faults as he had, he wanted the birthright. As it turned out, he was a believer. His brother was not. That's the big difference. But you wouldn't know it if you just looked at the outward situation in the family for years and years. So Jacob took advantage of Esau being starving and offered his brother a bowl of pottage if he would give the birthright to Jacob. So this is not exactly a Christian way of doing things. You see your brother starving to death and you've got food, you should just feed him. No strings attached. Well, there was a big string attached on this one, the birthright. So listen to Esau's reply. This reply speaks volumes. This is what he said. Behold, I am at the point to die. I'm starving to death. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? In other words, all the promises of God that came along with the birthright, they weren't worth anything. If you die, you're dead. There is no afterlife. So you live what you can for this life and forget about anything else. So Esau was a man that was living for the world. And he was very good at it, but came the time when he wasn't. And he thought he was dying and starving to death, so he gave away his birthright with all the spiritual blessings that were with it, so that he could have a few more years on this earth. So we learn here that Esau was an unbeliever, living in the same house with his brother Jacob. Didn't believe in an afterlife. Esau didn't. He was living only for this world, and the promises of God meant nothing to him. And it's a matter of truth, you know. God keeps many of his promises for his own people right here on this earth. But most of the promises that God gives us, he's not going to keep until the afterlife. And we have to realize that. Death is the doorway to a kingdom of glory for a child of God. And in the afterlife, all of the promises of God are going to be kept in a marvelous, marvelous way that they couldn't be kept here in this life, in this earth. Because there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. The curse is going to be removed. But it's not going to happen until Christ comes back and initiates his kingdom of glory. So Esau didn't believe any of that. And he made the worst deal in the Old Testament. He sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. There's only been one deal that was made worse than this one, and that was in the New Testament when Judas Iscariot sold his Savior for 30 pieces of silver. But the type in the Old Testament is Esau, antitype Judas Iscariot. Okay, so many people are making the same mistake today. This is Satan's main weapon, is to promise physical blessings here on this earth at the expense of giving up your spiritual faith. He tried that trick on Jesus during the three temptations after Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. And one of the temptations was the devil showed Jesus all the glory of all the kingdoms in the world. Didn't show him any of the bad stuff, but only the good stuff. And he said, I will give you all these things because this is up to me. I can do this, which was a lie. The devil didn't own any of these good things on the earth. They belong to God. He created. But the devil lies. And I'll give these things to you, and all you have to do is bow down and worship me. It'll just take you a couple seconds. And of course, Christ didn't fall for it. But Esau did, and many, many people do. It's a bad deal. Okay, so as things worked out, Esau got his mess of pottage. He ate it, regained his strength, but he was still angry at his brother. So these two brothers were not on the same level. They hated each other. And so Jacob and his mother concocted a way that we'll let the Holy Spirit tell it. And notice how honest the Holy Spirit is. He tells it like it is. He doesn't cover up the bad details in the life of these saints of his in the Old Testament. They're not super saints. So we're in verse 27. We'll spend some time on it this morning. It came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said to him, this is the favorite son, remember, behold, my son, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Well, that's true. Isaac was old, but he was going to live many years yet. But the way his thinking was is he didn't have much time left. But he admits, I don't know when it is, but it could come any day now. I can't see anything. I'm old. And so now he calls his favorite son. And now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons. His weapons were not the spirit, the sword of the spirit. They were thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. So like father, like son, like father, Esau thought he was about to die and starve to death, but he had lived for many years yet. And Isaac knew that his days were, he was old already, and he figured he was going to be passing away pretty soon also. So he wanted to set the record straight and give Esau the birthright, the promise. So while this little conversation was taking place, the Holy Spirit tells us Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. Now remember, Rebekah's favorite son was Jacob. And so Esau went out to the field to hunt for venison and bring it. So he's gone now. He took his bow and arrow and away he went. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. So what did she tell him to do? What did mommy tell her favorite son to do? Go now to the flock. By the way, what should she have done? What should she have? She should have reminded her husband, hey, you know, God said that the blessing was supposed to be to Joseph. That's what she should have done. But she didn't. She took things into her own hands, doing it her own way. So telling Joseph, okay, or Jacob, go out to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. So it sounds like she was a really good cook also, and she could take two goats and fix them so they tasted like venison. And her husband's not going to know the difference. He can't even see anything. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Well, Jacob saw a few flaws in this plan. So Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My skin is soft as a baby, and he's like a rough, rough guy. And my father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him to be a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Well, what if that happens? And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch them to me. So he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother, notice this, his mother, his mother, his mother, his mother, throughout this whole chapter. It's Jacob and his mother. And see what's going to happen. And so anyway, he brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house. She knew where his clothes were. And she put them upon Jacob, her younger son. Now he's going to smell like Esau, because he's got Esau's clothes on. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. This is clever. This is devilishly clever. And because Isaac can't see. And he's going to think that Jacob is Esau. That's the way this is working. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And now the great Saint Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. He's a liar. Child of the devil, the devil's a liar and the father of it. And Jacob is being sucked into this. And then his mother is working with them to do it. And I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Isaac is a little skeptical. He is wondering, and he said to his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" It usually takes a while to go and kill a deer and bring it in, and you've just left a few minutes ago, and how did that happen so quickly? And now comes another lie. Jacob said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." God gave it. God did it. Well, that must be all right. So Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." He's still skeptical. Isaac is still skeptical about this. So Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." So now he's tricked. "And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him." So the truth of the matter here is that Jacob got the blessing because he was a schemer and did what his mother wanted, and they tricked his father. And he lied to him a couple times. That's why. Now, okay, he would have gotten the birthright anyway, because God had promised it to him. And even though it looked like it wasn't going to be his, God would have worked it out so that it would still be, because God does not lie like Jacob did. But they took his mother and father, his mother and son, took these things into their own hands, and they sinned. And so there was a curse that came along with all this. So Isaac is still a little skeptical. He said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." Another lie. And his father bought into it. And he said, "Bring it near to me. Bring near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." Son sounds like Judas Iscariot kissing the Savior, doesn't it? And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine." Now, these are the words that the Holy Spirit is giving us. He's telling it like it is. And Jacob is looking just terrible. Okay, "Therefore God give thee of the dew of the heaven and the fatness of earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." So Jacob got what he wanted. Problem was, he schemed and lied and cheated to get it. And there's a truth the scripture gives us, that a person reaps exactly what they have sown. And while it all looked like it worked out so well, Jacob had a terribly rough life. It was terrible. So anyway, it came to pass as soon, you know, timing. It came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarce yet gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. This was a matter of a minute or two. That's all it was. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled exceedingly. Now all of a sudden he realizes what had happened. And he said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him?" And then listen to what he says. "Yea, and he shall be blessed." All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit gave him remembrance. And remember, you were supposed to bless Jacob. That's the way God told you to do it. And so now, all of a sudden, Isaac remembers that, and he agrees to it. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. It reminds you of what's going to happen at the final judgment day when the Son of God says to the ones on his left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." So here you have a type of this. He cried with a great, exceeding bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, the father said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." But he said, "Is he not rightly called Jacob?" The word Jacob means swindler. "For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright." No, he didn't. You gave it away. You gave it away. But he's turning and twisting that. "He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." No, he hasn't. God gave it to him. God gave it to him. You trace that whole thing back to God, and you see how God works as far as his elect children go. They get what they're supposed to get, even though they're not right in the way sometimes that they do it. This is amazing. And so Esau said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" Do you only have one blessing? Is that all you have? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. With corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" What is there's nothing left. But when Esau said unto him, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father?" And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Well, he gave away all of his spiritual blessings, and now he's weeping. Now he'll get some physical blessings, but that's it. Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold," what kind of a blessing does he get? "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth." I'll give you earthly blessings. They're not going to last. "And of the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live." You're going to have a rough life. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have enemies attacking you all the time. And shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass that when thou shalt have dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. It'll be a little blessing in the earth, but that's about it. So here's the ending of it. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And this is a type also, is it not? The children of the devil hate the children of God. And why do they hate us so much? They hate us because God has promised us life in a new kingdom where the curse of sin is going to be taken away and we'll live together with Jesus Christ as a perfect bride forever and ever. That's why they hate us. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and I will slay my brother, Jacob. Now he said that in his heart. But these words of Jacob, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. She found out about it. What's up?
In these words of Esau.
Yeah, the words of Esau.
He said Jacob.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, the words of Esau were told unto Rebekah. And he had just said these things in his heart. And she said, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, and flee thou to Laban thy brother in Haran, and tarry with him a few days till thy brother's fury turn away." The plan was that Jacob was going to be gone from home and from his mother a few days. Turned out to be 20 years, and he never saw her alive again. "Until thy brother's anger turn away," which it never did, "from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of both in one day?" So then Jacob left. So we're looking at what we can get from these things. And here Jacob, who was a homebody, was forced to leave. And Jacob, who was his mother's favorite, was forced to leave her. And all this took place because of the sins that the two of them had committed. And you look at the life of Jacob, and we won't read it right now, but you know a lot about it. Jacob reaped what he had sown. He outwitted his father, but Laban outwitted Jacob. Jacob fell in love with one of Laban's daughters, and Rachel, and he made a deal with Laban, I'll work for you for nothing, no pay, for 7 years if you give me Rachel for a wife. Laban said, deal. So Jacob worked for 7 years, but he didn't get Rachel for his wife. He got Leah instead. And then he came to Laban and said, "What's the deal? You promised me to give me Rachel, and you didn't. Well, we have a law in our land that the oldest one has to be married first. And Leah is the oldest one. So if you work 7 more years for nothing, I'll give you Rachel." So he ended up working 14 years for Rachel. And then he got two wives. One he hated and the other he loved. That's not a good situation. And as the years worked on, you go 6 more years. He had 14 years that he worked for the two of them. Then he had 6 more years. And he had 12 sons, but 4 mothers, Leah, Rachel, and 2 handmaids. He'd been away from home for 20 years, and he never saw his mother again. Okay. There is good news. There is really good news. And I think this is the key to what we're looking at this morning. Jacob is mentioned as one of the three key people that founded the Jewish nation. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had fled from Esau, left his mother, left his home, and he was as down and out as you could possibly get. Remember, try to relate to this. Undoubtedly, he had never left home in his life. And now, all of a sudden, he had to leave. And he had to leave very, very quickly. Didn't even have time to pack a toothbrush. He had to get out of there because his brother wants to kill you. So he had to flee as fast as he possibly could. And he knew that when he was gone and Esau found out about it, Esau was going to come after him. And so Jacob left. And here's the account of what happened. Try to relate to this. This is the most terrifying thing he ever did. He's fleeing for his life. He didn't even pack a pillow. When the sun went down, his bed, instead of being a nice soft bed, was the dirt. He had to lay down in the dirt or on the stones. And what did he have for a nice soft pillow? He got some stones and put them there, and his head was laying on the stones. And he was scared. And he was with the wild animals. That's the situation he found himself in. So the Holy Spirit picks it up here. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place. Remember that. A certain place. Wherever God says a certain place or a certain person, there's something very, very, very important. So this was the certain place. And he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. I wonder how much sleep he got that night. This is the worst physical condition he had ever been in. And then it happened. He dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And the ladder set right up by Jacob. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherewith thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. This is the angel talking to Jacob, and he doesn't say, you cheater, you liar, you're getting just exactly what you deserve. He doesn't say that. Jacob is one of God's elect, a member of the very small remnant. And sins can be forgiven through the blood of Christ. And this is what's happening. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. This is almost unbelievable. And in thee, in thy seed, shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is almost unbelievable. Jacob? And behold, I am with thee. This is God talking to Jacob. Well, it didn't look like it. It didn't look like God was with him. But he was. I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land. I'll bring you back. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Okay, this is the verse, this next verse is the one I want you to take with you and remember it. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Remember that. You're the elect of God. And you will have times when you're in trouble. But wherever you are, no matter how hard it may be, you're not going to be alone. And you might be able to look at the situation around and say, hey, God doesn't care. He doesn't know where I'm at. Oh, that's not true. God is with you right where you are. And that takes away all fear of anything that you might have. Surely the Lord is with me. The Lord God is with me. And I knew it not. Well, we know it. We know it. And the truth of the matter is that God is always with us, even in the dark days. And when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we're not alone. The Good Shepherd is with us, and we're being richly blessed. And this is something that's only true of God's elect, the very small remnant, whom God chose from before the creation of the world, back in eternity past. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit chose us as his elect. And so then people start to question this. Well, this doesn't sound fair. Why did God choose you, but he didn't choose us? This isn't fair. And the point here is that you never should ask the question, is it fair? That's not a good question. None of us deserved anything. If we all got what we deserved, we'd all be down in hell. But there's a small remnant that God chose and is going to bring us into Christ's kingdom of glory. And so you don't ever ask the question, is it fair? The question you ask is it true? And it's true because God says so. That's the point.